Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I'm Mr. Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe McGranahan is directly across from me, and Mr. Rob Center is on the other side of the glass, ready to take fabulous care of us. So we appreciate everybody's participation. The visit sunburymotors.com is our implorance remark for you. You can see their entire Ford, Lincoln, Kia, and Hyundai line, plus all the pre-owned vehicle, which is in perfect condition, all of these vehicles. So select your perfect vehicle, purchase online right from your home. You can seal the deal when you get down there, and they'll throw you the keys from a safe distance. I hope you can catch them. No, they'll probably just put them on the car seat. But it's an opportunity for you to get a fabulous price, great trade-in value. They're very motivated to sell and move vehicles. If you haven't driven past lately, they are just packed full of cars down there. And there's a Ford, Lincoln, Kia and Hyundai with your name on it. You might have to run over to Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf to pick up the vehicle. But if you can't do that, maybe your vehicle is totally dead and it was an old jalopy to start out with, then you can just wait at your place and they'll bring your new vehicle either on a rollback or they'll have some other highly sanitized zoot-suited person drop it off. But it's an opportunity for you to get a great price on a vehicle, fabulous value for your trade-in, and to seal the deal and never have to shake a hand.
Do you ever even know what a zoot suit is?
A zoot suit, I think it's a suit that is for, you know, different colors and things and pretty good looking.
From what era?
It would be like not 20s, but it would be like 40s and 50s.
All right, you're close. It was during World War II. There were Zoot Suit riots, if you recall. Well, you probably don't recall.
I do not recall. But you were already a grown-up by then. What happened?
No, I know. I was there trying to restore law and order.
Oh, were you? Even then, Joe said, you should just write a letter to your legislator. Don't riot. You're funny. Calm down, everybody. Even Joe as a baby back in then was like, okay, everybody, please calm down. There's
That's
no need
right.
to have a zoot suit riot. Anyway, sunburymotors.com. Please, I mean that they'll be wearing PPE. If they touch your vehicle, they're going to be wearing protective gear because they are going to make sure that you have full trust and confidence. Maybe that's what we should really emphasize here. Let's not talk about value. Let's talk about trust and confidence, and you can enjoy them at the Sunbury Motor Company, and they would just love to talk with you about this. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK. It's the On the Mark Show, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Do check them out at sunburymotors.com. Toll-free line now 100% open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. If you wish, you can join the half a dozen folks or so who have emailed us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. Okay, that's,
now,
a,
that's
zoot
a zoot suit.
Suit.
No one would wear that to provide protection in a pandemic.
That's a nice hat, though, that comes with it. What's that hat called?
I don't know. No, it's not a sombrero. It's
a wide-brimmed
Wide-brim. Yeah,
hat.
Definitely wide-brim hat. So.
Dress hat. Yeah, that's a pretty sharp-looking guy. Okay. All right, so...
But
yeah,
it's not protective gear.
They don't
Let's
have
be clear
one
about
this.
That.
Yeah, they don't
I
have
doubt
this.
That anyone at the Sunbury Motor Company wears a zoot suit. Or ever would, for that matter.
Okay. Well,
unless they were going to a costume party
right,
and the theme was World War II.
They have their annual 50s party. Right. Did you hear about this?
No.
It's a riot.
Is it really?
1-800-795-9565. Call us. And now, one of our good listeners sent us a note. Read that top text.
Says, good morning. My question is, if the President of the United States of America has the power to close the country, why doesn't he have the power to open it up again? He's the one that closed it. Well, the governor said he didn't have the power to open it up.
Governors said
he didn't have the power to open it up again. But under an emergency declaration, he could close it. Mm-hmm. And I guess after he declares the emergency, unless he doesn't have the right to undeclare it.
Okay.
Does that seem reasonable to you?
Well, that's right. He didn't declare it, or he didn't shut down the states. That was done by different states in different ways, and some didn't stand down. Some stood down earlier and had partial shutdowns, and, of course, the governor did his in a sequential fashion. This, you know, it almost seems like ancient history now.
Speaking of that, did you hear the latest scandal?
Well, let me finish my sentence. But just, you know, so they would, the president really has very little control over what the individual states are doing. Now, he does have, I mean this in a complimentary fashion, a big mouth. He's got his Twitter,
that's
and he's
complimentary.
Got his announcing, and he's coming
he
here.
He might have said a bully pulpit.
Oh, he's got a bully pulpit. Okay, if you like that better. But, you know, he's got his Twitter follower that has, you know, gazillions of followers, and he gets his message out. And the media, even though they do so in often in a condescending or biased way, they do tend to transmit some of his more pointed remarks. And so that's how he's helping to control this. And he's coming to Pennsylvania today, and he's going to say that Pennsylvania, you need to restart here. You know, it's turned into a Republican versus Democrat. Of course, we have a Democratic governor, and so the president's going to come to Pennsylvania and say, hey, stand down, Governor Wolf, you're messing us up.
Well, have you heard about Dr. Levine, what she did when Governor Wolf started ordering these people into nursing homes, people who were recovering from the coronavirus? She took her mother out of the nursing homes.
Okay, tell me more.
Well, that's the story right there. You know, if it was safe to put other people in, why was she taking her mother out?
Okay. See, this is an internet rumor that you just repeated where I'm going to present the facts on
that. Oh, you have facts?
Yes.
Okay.
Shortly, but we have callers waiting. So
we do.
Waiting for
We're
Joe on fact-checking you. You'd be there all day, Lance. So.
Oh, you're very funny this morning, Lawrence.
Who was it that pointed out yesterday that some days I'm happy and here and other days I'm more sullen?
I don't know, but somebody who
callers.
Was very astute.
Right, very perceptive. Lance, you're on the mark.
Okay, I must say I did get the volume turned up on your phone because other times I've called, it's about half what that is right now. In fact, I'm going to have to turn the phone down. I'll be right with you.
We got the gerbils going like crazy to keep the,
okay, now we're
keep
good.
The thing going.
Okay, that 211 number, if you call it, all you'll get is a caterwaul like you hit a fat. And then all of a sudden, you will say, they'll say the number you're calling from. And I had a fellow told me that. I tried it, and that's exactly what happens. So
it doesn't work, in other words.
Well, at least it doesn't seem to.
Okay, we'll have to check it out. We'll tell the folks that gave us that. It was working earlier because we did do a story about it, a news story, and the first thing we did was grab audio by calling it and a person answered the phone. But that was probably a month ago when, quote-unquote, all this started, unquote. So, yep, we'll check it out. Okay, thank you, Lance. Anything else on your mind? How's everybody else in rural Lower Northumberland County?
Oh, real well. The neighbors will they'll call you, ask you anything you need, and I guess they send their kids.
Yeah, send somebody young.
Yeah, right, and it magically appears on your front porch.
Wow. That's
I mean,
a good
it just
system.
Really worked out really well. There's I think I said about before, there's a boys' school right up the road there, and them kids have really done a number to help people out around here. Also here, you know, it seems almost farcical that Russia would be wanting to have Trump in the White House. Now, after all, a goodly portion of their GDP is oil, correct? Now, once you want to have someone in there that is against fracking, and every single Democratic candidate says, including Joe Biden, first day in office, they're stopping the fracking. So doesn't that seem kind of weird? I mean, why would they want Trump as president?
I bet it's probably more complicated than just one major issue, but it's probably more complicated than just one issue. I'm mentally not prepared to discuss this, but I'm sure there's a wide range of things we could say in response. And and Joe's just leaning back. He's not thinking about Russia lately. So you're the only person.
I'm not thinking about fracking at the moment. I think we have bigger fish to fry.
Joe worries about fracking all the time. He's really concerned about the planet. All right. Thank you so much, Lance. Appreciate the call.
Good.
Yep. Thanks for checking in. Next up, Ken. Yeah. Thank you for calling in. Ken, you're on the mark.
Good morning, Mark. It's good to speak with you this morning. always look forward to listening to you. I have a lot of questions on my mind this morning, and I'm just overwhelmed with some of these decisions that are being made. I can't understand the situation with the Cylinder Grove Speedway. I know for a fact that there are six states that have already allowed races to be conducted without fans, and there's going to be more this weekend when the NASCAR starts up. So there's no reason at all why this couldn't have been done. And on Channel 27, which we can't get in this area, they actually showed a report, and they underlined on the emails where they were given approval and then denied. So they blatantly lied when they said that they never gave them approval, because the email was shown on the TV where they actually lied.
Ken, do you mind a question? Going back to your original comment about the raceway, what point is there to run a race if nobody's there to see it? I mean, all you'd have is the next day in the newspaper a list of the people who won and finished second or third.
They were going to do pay-per-view.
From the Cylinder Grove Speedway?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I wasn't aware of that.
Right.
How would they handle that?
They actually can make a lot of money doing pay-per-view. A recent race held out in Iowa had the largest pay-per-view audience for a race since it started.
Well, now that makes sense.
That is possible to make money doing it that way.
Okay.
Plus, they had sponsors putting up money for the race, all of which now had to be returned. But the worst part about it is this past weekend, there was a race held in Pennsylvania that went in a red area, which, how was that possible? That was done.
Where was
in
that?
In a red area.
Where what? Where was?
Pennsylvania this past weekend.
Where was that? And what were the circumstances?
That was at Roaring Mob Raceway in Pennsylvania. There was a race held. The results are in the racing paper from this past weekend.
Oh, okay. Wasn't aware of that. Were you, Mark?
No, but I think one thing's for sure, we'll never know what Cylinder Grove Speedway did wrong. I mean, I'm not a big complainer here. I'm not a governor hater or anything, but we will never know. The DCED doesn't explain their actions, and that's really the biggest complaint that everybody has about the stand down. You know, let's suppose, Ken, that you thought, you know, maybe the stay-at-home order and all this stuff made some sense and you were willing to comply, and then you had a question of the governor or the DCED or maybe a business that you were helping with, you can't get an answer to those questions. If you sought a waiver, you get a yes or no, but you can't get any explanation why. You know, let's suppose your business lost its waiver idea because you don't do curbside sales. Well, they would just say your waiver is denied, period. You know, even though you probably could have added curbside sales. I mean, I'm just saying, we'll never know what was wrong with Cylinder Grove Speedway's application. We don't really precisely know what was right with it in the first place. And then when they shut them down this week, they didn't say why. They just said that they were back into a termination phase and weren't allowed to.
Well, they should be compelled to give a reason why, because otherwise people are filing for exemptions if they have no chance of getting them.
They should do a lot of things.
Okay. Right. Well, that's one of the things they should do.
That is one of my subjects. Another one is, we are now in the yellow zone here in Snyder County, which we had 30, Cylinder Grove, or Snyder County's had almost 3 weeks with no new cases. We go out on the highway now and drive down the strip, and for some reason the gas price went up 10 cents. I thought they had such a surplus of gas because nobody's been using it. Why now is the gas price 10 cents higher?
I have no idea.
Well, because there are more people on the strip. I can tell you there are more people on the strip in the last few days than there have been in the last few weeks. So there is more driving going on. I will agree to that. But as for the reason the price went up, that's a goodie.
Check GasBuddy.com before you buy. How about that? Or if you have your Wise Markets, you can get Wise Markets.
And one final thing, I know I don't want to use up all your time. I called up Rick a few weeks ago about the library situation, and as far as I know, they are allowed to be open, but I have yet to see any of the libraries open, and I just wonder if they're hesitant to do it or whether they have no plans on reopening.
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll haven't heard.
We could do a follow-up on that. Yeah, thank you, Ken.
Okay, thanks,
Appreciate
Ken.
Appreciate the call. Dick, last caller before a quickie break. You're on the mark.
Hey, this is something everybody might want to take a look at. Yep, last night, at some time, the Wisconsin Supreme Court opened up their state entirely, overruled the governor. So I was on this morning and looked, and I saw a Twitter video of college kids just packed into a bar from one end to the other, drinking and celebrating, not one mask, no social distancing, nothing. This will probably going to translate all over the country when they start doing this all over the country with these college kids. They're just not going to take this real seriously. I guess my point being is, if it's going to, I can only see it going downhill after once this happens. If that's just one state. I mean, you can watch it. I watched it this morning and put it on my Facebook page. It's unbelievable. They're just from one end to the other, drinking, partying, and I understand they haven't seen each other, but there's nothing there that would indicate that these kids have any desire to be safe.
Well, young people are invincible, Dick. Didn't you hear?
Well, yeah, I understand that. And so basically, it's old people and babies now the only ones that are going to suffer through this, according to the latest thing. My only point is that this is just one state and one city in Wisconsin. I don't know if it was probably Madison. I'm just guessing. My point being is, when they open up the country and these college kids go back like this, They're not gonna stay 6 foot apart, 6 inches apart, or whatever. I'm just telling you. And they're gonna, this is not something that can be just controlled by partying and having a good time. That's my only point.
Georgia opened up, but they did so with restrictions. Here in Wisconsin, they just threw out everything. So I mean,
they just threw out everything. Yep. And I mean, you can go in and you can see, you can type it in there. Anybody with a computer can find this morning, and it's unbelievable. It looked like to squeeze in, just a wide longer squeeze in, and they were just packed in there partying, the music playing, they were just pounding on the bar and drinking and having a good old time, and that's what college kids do, and I understand that, but this is not normal times, and so I guess we'll see what happens down the road in states like this where they just don't seem to care.
Well, we'll see in 3 weeks how it's panning out.
My only point, you can't fix stupid and you can't revive dead. I guess that's my thing.
Oh, geez. Okay. Well, I hope that doesn't happen.
One revival. Oh, two, actually. Lazarus and Jesus.
Anyway, moving on.
I think the kids just, you're right, they think they're invincible, but we'll find out on the road.
All right. Thank you so much, Dick. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thanks, Dick.
Always glad to hear from you.
Yeah, he brings up a great point. I mean, that's quite a shock that the Supreme Court of Wisconsin overturned the governor's stay-at-home order. I mean, just completely threw it out. Now, I wonder if the governor can come back and modify it and say, all right, this is the rule now, but to do it, you have to wear masks, you have to maintain social distancing.
But in the meantime, there's no rule in effect there.
Right,
so
but Georgia, on the other hand, did open up, and everybody was predicting disaster down there, but they opened up with restrictions, and so far, I haven't heard any stories.
Well, that was, what, a week ago?
Yeah.
Okay, it's too soon. In 2 weeks, you'll have people going for testing. 3 weeks, you'll have people in the hospital. 4 weeks, you get your deaths.
So you're saying another week before we start to see an impact.
But I think you've already started to see, if you look at their numbers, they were declining. You know, their numbers were going down. That decline has stopped. Now, whether that's related to their partial reopening or not, it's just too soon to tell. We certainly hope not. You know, we'd like to see, what we'd like to do is to have Georgia set a good example for us that, you know, they have an unrestricted,
right.
Plus they have barbers. Would you be happy if they had barbers and they have gyms and
stuff? Yes, I would be.
Okay.
I'd be very happy.
There, okay. Joe wants to go. Some people
but
want Sweden. Joe wants the Georgia model.
Dick brings up a great point, though. I mean, they just threw this whole thing out, and there's nothing left. There's nothing to take his place. So people are back to doing what they did before, and that could be
bad.
I'm sure
the governor will find out, get to the heart of the matter legally, where the overstep was. Now, he has a Republican court, so, you know, you wonder, well, it's just kind of, you probably think to yourself, well, it's kind of incidental if a court has a political leaning, like Pennsylvania has a Democratic Supreme Court, and you know how that goes. So here you have a Republican Supreme Court in the state. What difference does it make? Well, this is it. You know, so death toll is going to go up if you don't stay closed. I mean, that much we can show. It may only be one person or so. It doesn't have to be, you know, a massive situation. And that individual would the expertise is that person would have been okay if under a stand-down order.
You Let's mean the take expectation.
A break. Right. Well said. Informed expectation. Let's take a quickie break. We love the calls we're getting. We'll take more. Dial it up. 1-800-795-9565. Do as two people have done. Text us at 70236. Call us and leave a message, as one person did. And you can email us, as four people have done. And that's at onthemark@wkok.com.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. 3 to 5 News Radio, 1070 WKOK.
Ryan, throw back a bottle of beer. Ryan.
Thank you so much.
Every once in a while.
That's your assignment for tomorrow. Look up the Zoot Suit Riots.
All right, I'll do that. All right, Buzz, thank you for being patient. You did more than I said you would do, and that's wait 3 minutes. So
yeah, he
thank
thought
you.
You'd be gone, Buzz.
Joe's Buzz's attention span is about 90 seconds, so go ahead.
There's nothing else to do. You know? I'm just thinking of a couple of things. Talk about this thing up in Michigan and people in the bars and stuff. But just to put it maybe in a context that people might understand, if your house catches on fire and the firefighters come and they put the fire out and they don't see any more fire and they just roll up and go home, are you okay with that?
No, it could rekindle.
Exactly. Or put it on a term for an older generation. Hang on a second. You know, during my military time, there were times when we wore helmets and flak vests when you're in a war zone and people are shooting at you. And after a couple of months, nobody's tried to get me. I'm just going to take this helmet off and take this flak vest off.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Okay. When it's over, it's over. And until then, you have to treat it like it's still out there. If people choose to be foolish or selfish or self-centered or deny reality, that's on them. Just stay away from me and those that I love.
Well, that goes back to what I've said all along. Everybody has to assess the amount of risk they're willing to accept or not accept.
Yeah.
And some people are going to be stupid. I mean, I see people driving down the road on motorcycles without helmets, and I think, man, that's not too bright. But other people say that's freedom.
Yeah. I'm okay with that, too. It's the same way with the coronavirus. But if you're a person that's been hanging out in a bar and you get sick, don't go to the hospital that I support.
Yeah, good point.
Don't. If you're getting a motorcycle accident without a helmet and you get hurt, don't come to my emergency room. That's a chance you took. Okay, don't let it fall back on other people. Of course, that's not realistic, but I just wanted to relate those terms, especially the ones that, about if your house catches on fire and then you don't see any more fire, do they just go home or do they wait and scuff around and make sure that it's out? That's all I got, guys.
Those are good points. Thank you very much for calling, Buzz. Take care.
Appreciate the call. 1-800-795-9565. Let's see. State Health Secretary ABC27 had a question for the State Health Secretary this week. Asked her why she moved her mother out of a personal care home into a hotel. And what kind of a message does that send to the rest of us working class dogs who don't have that option?
And who she directed that nursing homes accept people recovering from the coronavirus into their facilities.
Well, that wasn't part of the question.
That's part of the answer.
Okay, so here's her answer.
My mother requested, and my sister and I, as her children, complied to move her to another location during the COVID-19 outbreak. My mother is 95 years old. She is very intelligent and more than competent to make her own decisions. I remain committed to protecting residents in Pennsylvania wherever they live and wherever they go, whether it is in a facility that I regulate, whether it is in their homes and their communities, and whether or not they agree with our strategy.
They also felt she had a conflict of interest because she oversees nursing homes, but she says her mother was in a personal care home, which she doesn't oversee. Those are run by the licensed by the Department of Human Services, which is, of course, a separate entity. So basically, it's basically a fake news internet rumor. And ABC 27, believe it or don't, they asked her, you know, just went to Facebook, saw the rumor, and asked her about that. So that's, I was surprised.
Well, it's a big story in the New York Post.
Okay.
The fact that she did it. Now, if her 95-year-old mother, who's perfectly capable of making her own decision, says, I want to get a car and drive out and get some ice cream, think she'd let her?
I don't know. You know, I don't think like Dr. Rachel Levine thinks. I don't know what she would or wouldn't do. But if somebody who's intelligent and ambulatory and interested in asking you to do something with them and you don't feel it's so ridiculously unsafe, why wouldn't you do it? I mean,
well,
wait,
how is she getting proper care in a hotel?
What do you, whose business is this, Joe? Why do you suddenly care about Dr. Rachel Levine?
I care because there's apparently a disconnect between what she's doing and what she does with her own family. That's what bothers me.
Oh, you think. Okay. Yeah, based on, tell me the rest of the details about her family.
Well, I mean, her mother was in a personal care home, and suddenly she's in a hotel.
Right.
Who's caring for her in the hotel?
No, what's the key expertise that her sister has in this?
I don't know.
See, you don't know. 90% of this story you don't know anything about, so.
But the part I do know about, I don't like.
Right, that's true. If you look at the dirt on the floor, that's the bad part. All right, you're listening to WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. Mark here, Joe there. Mr. Rob over there, everybody's where they need to be, and you're at your end of the phone, so use it, 1-800-795-9565, text it, 70236, email it at onthemark@wkok.com.
You know what today is, by the way?
Let me think.
It's Matt Catrillo's birthday.
Oh, is it today? Is it the 14th already? Holy
yes,
smokes.
May 14th. Jeez, how about that? Happy birthday, Matt, wherever you are.
Wow, okay. Yeah, we'll have to harass him a little bit.
Yeah, well, definitely.
He's taking tomorrow off. That's strange. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury
Maybe he doesn't remember when he was born.
he wasn't there. He was late for that, too.
He was late, right.
On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Every vehicle is available online. They can deliver it right to you, and you don't need to have any interpersonal contact or the traditional handshake. SunburyMotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. In the news, some headlines. A neighboring Valley County still in the red phase, but has chosen to defy Governor Tom Wolf's threats and move to the yellow phase this Friday. In a resolution unanimously passed Wednesday, Columbia County commissioners say they're moving to the yellow phase effective 12:01 a.m. Friday. In a letter, the county says they recognize and acknowledge they can't protect county businesses from individuals from state requirements related to health and PLCB licensing, taxation, insurance, and permitting. The county also recognizes there may be repercussions for businesses and individuals who make their own decision to open their non-life-threatening business in the yellow phase guidelines. However, county commissioners say it's a compromise if and only if the governor makes May 22nd the date certain that they're going to yellow in Columbia County. They'll rescind their motion to go yellow this Friday in Columbia County. Two counties in our region have backed down on their plans to defy the governor. Schuylkill and Dauphin County now they'll stay in the red phase instead of going against the governor. CBS 21 reporting Dauphin County commissioners decided to stand down and will set up a task force with the goal of developing a plan to reopen the county's economy. Earlier this week, Lebanon and Lancaster County said they plan to bypass the governor's direction and go yellow. No indication yet if they'll stick with that mindset. Governor Tom Wolf has announced that they've begun the process of testing every resident and every employee of nursing homes. Dr. Rachel Levine made the announcement this week.
We have not had the testing capabilities in Pennsylvania to perform this. Until the last approximately 2.5 weeks, it's been extremely challenging to get the supplies and the swabs needed to be able to perform this significant amount of testing.
2,600 deaths reported in nursing homes in Pennsylvania this year. Additional COVID-19 cases are below 1,000 again statewide, just 600-700 new cases in Pennsylvania, bringing the statewide number of individuals who have tested positive for COVID-19 up to 58,000. There were a few local cases reported with this. And in case you haven't heard, it's gone political. Governor Tom Wolf struggling to fight against a Republican revolt over his stay at home orders and business shutdowns. Egged on by GOP lawmakers, counties have threatened to defy his orders, while at least a few business owners have reopened their doors. The Democratic governor has had to decide how far to go in enforcing the orders. The chief instigator behind the Republican strategy, President Donald Trump, visits today. President Trump yesterday called on governors around the nation to work to reopen schools closed because of the coronavirus, pointedly taking issue with Dr. Anthony Fauci's comments against moving too quickly and sending students back to class. The president accused Fauci of wanting to play all sides of the equation, a comment he suggested he is tiring of. The nation's top infectious disease expert, this is AP's adjectives, not mine,
right.
Quote, "I think they should open the schools, absolutely. I think they should," unquote, he told reporters at the White House, echoing comments he had made in a television interview. Time to get back to normal.
You know, and then what bothers me is that we're all taking this stuff, or the way the media is presenting it, that these are horrible things the president's saying. You know, he doesn't care about human life. I saw one of my Facebook friends posted, "Republicans will kill people just to get the economy going again." But, you know, so what's the alternative? We remain shut down for how long? At some point, even the most radical liberal has to admit that at some point the economy will be damaged beyond our ability to repair it.
Well, radical
and people will be out of work, huh?
Radical businesses or radical liberals own businesses, too, so they probably want to be underway.
And on the other hand, I mean, the far-right Republicans who believe this is an infringement on their rights, you know, would open up without taking the necessary precautions. But, I mean, those of us who are somewhere in the middle have to realize that we've got to take some risk here to get things going again, or there won't be anything to come back to. There won't be a new normal. There won't be anything.
1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. You know, you and I are talking about really the heart of this matter. Do you wish to proceed cautiously? Do you wish to go boldly? Let's see what our listeners have to say. Call us now, 1-800-795-9565.
Well, I'll bet you $5.
Okay.
That if the president were going the other way, if he were saying, "Oh, we've got to remain closed down," there'd be people on the left saying, "Well, he's going to destroy the country. He's going to ruin the economy. We're going to have this massive debt."
He's going off the rails. He's gone rogue.
You know, I think that no matter what you do, I don't think the governor can win. I don't think the president can win. I mean, there is no right answer here. The question goes back to what kind of risk are you willing to accept, and what's the reward for accepting the risk? If the reward for accepting a smaller risk or a slightly higher risk than I might normally accept is that we can open up the economy, people can go back to work, and life can resume, then I'm willing to accept that risk.
Well, that's what the governor is doing. That's exactly what he's doing. He's saying there is risk when you open daycares. There is risks when you allow some people to go back into offices, while all the while encouraging telework. That's what we're doing, is we're mounting the risk, and then we're seeing how it goes to see what the numbers do, which we have
not.
To wait.
I mean, there are still counties in this state that could easily be opened, easily go to the yellow
That's
route.
That's a vexing issue that I think it does need to be addressed. I agree with that. And I don't blame, it doesn't surprise me that these counties are going yellow on their own, because, I mean, why wouldn't you? You have no cases, no deaths, no nursing home issues, no hospitalizations, and you're standing down. Maybe you have neighboring counties that, you know, have numbers that are out of line or whatever.
And we're not reporting
growing.
The number of actual active cases. We're reporting the total number of cases ever were.
What do you think that number is? How do we know what that number is? How many people have colds in Pennsylvania?
Well,
right
first
now?
Of all, we know the number of people who had it, and we subtract the number of people who died.
How do you know people who had it? What is that number?
Well, the number of reported cases, if that makes you
Which
happy.
Which is a
if
tiny
I say that.
Sliver of the people who
you
had
think
it.
So?
Yes. Well, that's
well. Then
that's
the overwhelming evidence is that it's not much of a problem. If millions of people have it and there are no symptoms, nothing at all. You know, isn't that, doesn't that indicate this isn't a very big problem?
Yes, that's exactly right. This is the heart of the issue. Some people have it badly, some people don't. Read Than's message. Well, let's go counterclockwise, or let's go clockwise around the screen.
I don't know where Than came up with, when we weren't talking about the president. He says, we don't hate the president, we love our country.
Maybe a flaming liberal
I don't
reference.
Know. Okay. Does Northumberland County have a plan for opening in green? I never hear a plan. I don't like rumors, but I heard they don't have a criteria what they need to do to be open in green. Do you know what it takes to be in green? Well, I think it means all restrictions are lifted.
Right.
That's why I said that there should have been more than three elements, closed, a little bit, and fully open. There should be a couple of other steps here.
Right. I don't believe, Northumberland County doesn't have to formulate any plans. The counties don't take these actions, so it's this, you know,
but
it's
I think
the,
they
it's
should.
The governor and the state. You want Northumberland County to act, well, that's fine.
No,
you,
I think
you
the counties, I mean, it's the same principle. The president says if the president can't control it, it's up to the states. The states should let it up to the counties to determine for themselves whether or not they feel comfortable opening up and to what extent.
Okay, now some of the texts, please.
Okay, Mark, what are the facts about Levine taking her mother from the nursing home after the order by the state was given that nursing homes had to accept COVID-19 infected patients?
She didn't take her. She just happened to drive her. Her mother's intelligent, chose to leave a personal care boarding home, not a nursing home, and to go on her own. Now, she did ask her daughters to drive her, which that's their prerogative, but there's nothing nefarious about this. It's just a daughter doing what her mother asks her to do and going to a hotel, which if you can afford that and you want to. She probably is a little bit nervous about COVID-19. I mean, she's 95, I believe they said.
So why is she nervous about it? Because her daughter's putting people.
Why don't you ask her mother?
Her daughter is putting people who have the COVID virus into the nursing homes with her. All right, Georgia reopened on 420.
She's not in a nursing home.
Doesn't matter. Georgia reopened on Friday 420.
Admit it. The facts don't count. I'm glad you finally admitted it.
She is in a personal care facility. That's what counts. Georgia reopened on 424. Time flies.
Yeah, that's true. I think I said last week, just in passing, and I didn't really know when it was. But we looked it up. It is May 24th, so thank you. Yeah, we appreciate that. Good.
And then, hey, Marks, please speak responsibly. What year do you expect Northumberland to go green, Northumberland County to go green?
2021.
And then Georgia opened up and is doing fine, okay? We have that one. And we have, this is a longer one. We have two calls. We'll get to this one later, so we'll take one of the calls now, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Dan from New Berlin, you're on the mark.
Hey, good morning, Joe and Mark. What? You can call me stupid, you can call me dumb, you can call me far right, but
just don't call me late for dinner, right?
Right. But what's happened, this all started out as mitigation so there wouldn't be an overload on the hospitals. What started out as mitigation turned into Democratic left-wing control of the people. It all changed. Now the people that are liberal want to control our lives, the people that want freedom. It all switched around, and they throw our economy into a depression. It'll be hell to pay. My mom and dad lived during the Depression, and they told me how life was, and it was not pleasant. And my mom would now and then make cracker soup just to remember how terrible it was, and she gave me some of that cracker soup, and of course I went, yuck, yuck, yuck. And it was coffee with crackers. And what, I don't know, most of the people living today have never went through the Depression, but I learned enough about it. That would be worse than this virus we're going through right now. In fact, we have it mitigated a lot of places, not every place, but we can keep the mitigation up where it needs to be, but not all over the country. You keep people cooped up long enough, what's going to happen is exactly what happened in Wisconsin. they're going to say the heck with it is what they're going to do, and they're going to let it, you know, just let forget everything, all the restrictions, and not use any common sense. It's sort of like prohibition. You try to hold people back from something they want, it's not going to work.
Yeah, good point.
And you know, that's the way I'm looking at it. You can call me whatever. I don't care.
We'll just call you Dan.
You know, I know what's being done is government control.
Well, that is definitely true. They are definitely controlling things. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate your call, as always.
Have a great one. Good talking with you.
Take care.
All right. Taking a quickie break. We will be right back.
So, Bob
and Eric, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Bob from Shamokin, Pennsylvania, thank you so much for waiting. Go right ahead. You're on the mark.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Fine, thanks. How about you, Bob?
Pretty good. I got to preface this by telling you that I'm a numbers nerd. I like to analyze the numbers. I've always been like that about anything. And some of the things that, like, when people are saying now about, well, who cares with the, you know, the governor put the order to send people back to nursing homes and personal care facilities. The order was for both. And so I, you know, in looking at the numbers of cases and things like that, I started to look. And first off, when you talk about the number of deaths in the state, and you can look this up right now, currently it is at 68.6% of the total deaths in Pennsylvania occurred in nursing homes and long care facilities, personal facilities. 68.6% of all the deaths. Now, since the order was made, which was made in like the beginning of April, to send these people with still active coronavirus but were stable out of the hospitals and into these, back into nursing homes and personal care facilities, with the thought that they were going to be opening up hospital space for, if, you know, this influx of more patients. You take even the first 2 weeks of that off and go to mid-April, the percentage of deaths have increased in these facilities for the coronavirus 805%.
Wow.
In those facilities since they started allowing people in. We've known from the beginning that people with comorbidities and elderly are the most susceptible. And I honestly think that there should have been more thought to doing something different than putting people who were still active with the virus in a facility that housed the most vulnerable people to the virus, the ones most likely to die.
I wonder if the people who say the president has a disregard for human life will come out and say the same thing about the governor.
You know, exactly. If you're going to say that the president, because you don't think he acted fast enough in the beginning, has some kind of blood on his hands, then certainly the governor has blood on his hands for the people that have died in these nursing homes, because it was directly, you know, as a result of his orders, because in the initial order was they locked down all the nursing homes.
Right.
You know, and then they later changed their mind And I understand we wanted to get hospital beds open in case there was a flood of people coming. But in the same aspect, you know, you look in hindsight, no, we didn't get the flood of people and everything, but there might have been a better plan to have, you know, just a few select facilities be the only ones where they would have taken a ward, closed it down, and only put active corona patients until they were detested that they were clear and no longer had the virus, and then they could have been moved into a general population area.
I got a question, since you're following all of this. How many people had the coronavirus, were in it, like they live in a nursing home, that's their home, they went to the hospital because they had the COVID-19, then they got transferred back to the nursing home when they were better?
Yeah, so they don't issue that number. I wish they did, because, you know, it would be curious to see how many were just, you know, basically coming back to their residence.
So you don't know if you're talking about one. You know you're talking about at least one patient, because this is very much talked about as being a dilemma. But we don't know if they were talking about one patient or 956,000 patients.
Oh, yeah, exactly. We don't, because they don't issue those things.
All right, next question. Let me give you another question, since you know this stuff. How many licensed nursing homes have outbreaks of coronavirus in them?
The way that the figures are now, they only list on the state health website, which is where I'm getting active cases, the number of facilities that have active cases at any given time. So as soon as somebody becomes downgraded to cured or whatever, they don't issue. But you can go on the website and you can see by county, you know, like Northumberland County currently has one facility that has, you know, and but every county they list how many, but they don't list, you know, throughout the history of it. It's just what's currently, you know, you're just getting a snapshot of what's at the moment.
That's a number of anybody who ever had it in a nursing home, not the number that have it. So,
now, because it was up to at one point that there were a couple patients and there were a couple workers.
Okay.
It now shows as of yesterday that there's only one patient on one facility in Northumberland County.
But that's not why. Not for the reason you suspect. That's the state said that's because it turned out that the one they had counted as a licensed care facility wasn't a licensed care facility. It was just
my assumption was that they were
Recovered.
Doing it as a snapshot.
Yeah, unfortunately, everybody wants to know.
I thought it was just a snapshot that once it was current.
Okay, yeah, there's 1,000. Since you love numbers, you realize that you're getting a tiny sliver of what's really needed to determine any sort of a trend there.
Well,
so
because
we have to get to another caller going
we're not
here.
We're being given the sliver of how many people are considered cured.
Yeah.
Right, the recovered. Everybody wants to know that number, too.
Right.
All right, thank you so much.
Right, though,
the number of active cases
is what's important. Well, I'm sorry we had to let him go, but
well,
he was making some good points.
Yes,
I know.
And Eric's been waiting
patiently. Eric, you're on the mark.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. I listen to Dan always with interest and other emotions I won't go into. You know, Dan, if you're still listening, my parents lived through the Great Depression, too, and tell stories. But I want my parents who are still alive, thank you, to also live through the COVID-19 epidemic pandemic. So I have a different slight on things. My concern is the mixed messages now we're getting out of Washington from the president. The president has said in the past few days, we're going to have a great fourth quarter. The president and his advisors know full well that history tells us that no standing president has ever been reelected during a recession, and we are in a recession. And he is now trying to do an end around governors and other cities to say, hey, just open everything up and it'll be fine. And it won't be. The doctor Fauci. He was his star, and he kept putting him out there every time he had he put him up there. But now that this doctor is disagreeing with President Trump, now all of a sudden I think the president said something similar that he's talking out both sides of his mouth. With this president, if someone only ends up disagreeing with him, he is dismissed. We've seen that. How many of his advisors who have disagreed with him are now, you know, no longer working for him?
He didn't dismiss Dr. Fauci. Dr. Fauci's still there.
No. But the doctor who is testifying before Congress today, he did.
He didn't. The president's fingerprints are not on that. Somebody may have done it, but the president certainly didn't order it.
Okay, I you believe that? Fine. That's but
he
is
either
no longer
of you know
working
for sure
for the federal government, right? So somebody fired him.
They didn't fire him. They changed his job.
Okay.
That's like saying they fired. That's like saying the president fired the pandemic group. No, he didn't fire him. One guy quit, and the others got reassigned.
But Joe, don't you find it interesting that the governor or the president are flip flopping?
I'm going to argue that point with you. He has, you know, gone from trying to downplay it, but part of that is I think his job is to try and keep the American public calm.
He's also following the political way.
Well, yeah,
too.
He may be doing that, but so are the Democrats. Everybody's playing politics with this, and it sucks.
And Eric wasn't ready to hear that.
I guess that's a common vernacular word we can use.
It is, yeah. Joe, unfortunately, he says that, plus he uses the...
I grew up in the 70s, and it had a whole different connotation back then.
Well, it doesn't anymore. It's part of the mainstream lexicon these days.
Right. At Joe's house, not at my house.
It's not one I try to use, but okay. Finally, I'll end on a positive note, as I try to do every time I call in.
Okay.
I'm just so proud of the people of Snyder County. We have not had a new case in, 2.5, maybe 3 weeks now. The couple times I've left my home has been to take my wife for her doctor appointments. And I see mask usage. In fact, my wife had gone into the clinic where she was being checked up, and an old elderly gentleman was following her in a couple minutes later, and he didn't have a mask on. And I had an extra one in my car, and I opened the door, and I said, "Sir, would you like to wear a mask?" And he didn't fight me, saying, "No, I don't have to wear a mask." And he said, "Oh, my goodness, I forgot mine." And I gave it to him. He graciously took it. And I think that's the spirit we have here in Snyder County, that if we work together, we can get through this. And I don't think, and I think it's rather interesting that Channel 16 reported this morning that I think Lackawanna County had over 100 deaths in their care facilities. Mm-hmm. And I know Snyder County had one death. I'm not sure. I don't know if it was in a care facility or not. But our disparaging in the population is not 100 to 1, certainly between our two counties. And again, I think that Snyder Countyans are trying to look out for one another. And I applaud my fellow residents here.
Do you mind one question, Eric?
Yeah.
I agree with you that the president has said some things that are contradictory. But, you know, we're in uncharted territory here. How much flexibility are you willing to give either he or the governor for moving as fast as they can in untrying and uncertain times? I mean, I look at Governor Wolf, and I think he's got the best interest of the people of the Commonwealth at heart. I disagree with what he's doing, but I'm not going to attribute any base motives to him, and I feel the same way about the president.
And I love the president for not firing Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx, even though they contradict him all the time.
Right. So, I mean...
Well, I'll just say that do we not think that our Democratic governor realizes that this state is taking a tremendous hit in tax revenues. He knows full well this is going to be hurtful. And does anyone really believe, as Dan kind of insinuated, that he's just doing this just because he can and just to exert, you know, keep the people down? That's ludicrous. That is a ludicrous thought.
Oh, it's a Democratic conspiracy. I guess you didn't get that memo. The Democratic Party told us what to do, so that's what we're doing.
As always, gentlemen, I appreciate the opportunity to share my opinion.
Thanks, Eric.
Thank you so much, Eric. Be safe and well. We appreciate the call. We'll take a quickie break. We'll give Joe lots of preparation time for this one. If you'd like to call in, please do so. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. Let's take two panels, top and bottom.
Okay. My other point when I called, this is from Dick. Dick called a little while ago. He said, my other point when I called was, what good did it do for the majority of Wisconsin citizens to follow all the guidelines to safeguard? And the first day back open, the party began. Well, he's got a good point.
All right.
And another texter says, good morning. I don't see any difference between growing up poor or living through a depression. I can say that I lived through both. And that's from Bob. And the epicurves on the PA website show daily numbers by region. Look at it and feel better. So apparently that shows some positive information.
All right. 1-800-795-9565. We will be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live telephone talk show. Yeah, Joe making a point that our rurality really helps us to keep our numbers
down. To some
down.
Extent, sure.
So we do social distancing, you know, just as a matter of course anyway.
One of our emailers, Mike, says, I love to listen to your show, even when your callers don't know what they're talking about. Stating a president has never been reelected during a recession did not hold true for Franklin Roosevelt in the 30s. The definition of a recession is two quarters back-to-back with negative GNP. Those numbers would not be available until the end of June.
And since
But he's
then,
right. I mean, the president was reelected. I mean, he did what he could the first 4 years, but we weren't out of the recession.
And since then, during recessions, presidents who were up for election during a recession did not get reelected, correct?
Well, look at Jimmy Carter. He was not reelected in a bad financial time. George Bush, well, his was no new taxes.
Well, and other things, too. I think he was outdone by somebody who had much broader appeal. I think that was part of that, too.
No, possibly
not just
so.
The recession.
Possibly so.
It's the economy, stupid. Didn't hurt anything either.
No, it didn't.
All right. Hit delete and then start reading again.
All right. Let's see. People who are looking for a safe place because of fear of corona, we've got it down to two places, maybe your home or the hospital. Please use your common sense. There is no safe place today. I hope next year we're going to keep the numbers going. How many people died of just the flu and how many people died in their home because of a fall? The number of people that died on airplanes, car accidents, nursing homes. Maybe all TV channels, local, nationwide, can do a number thing on TV, like they're doing for the coronavirus or the stock market, and that would be a permanent thing for everybody to see daily. How many people are dying every day? Maybe we would really be shocked. People die. Don't you see how crazy this is getting?
Okay.
No, people do die.
No argument there. You got
right.
us on that one.
Hey, folks, don't you recall the interview someone had with AOC where she told people not to go to work? Imagine that. This entire shutdown is to give us a taste of socialism. It isn't working too well for most of us who want to get out there and earn a living. I always wear a mask and gloves when going into a store. Of course, the purpose of the mask is to prevent others from becoming infected by whomever I come into contact with. But still, there is almost nowhere I go that people are not abiding by this rule. I see the masks coming off once they exit a store, as the masks are not the easiest thing to do when trying to breathe. The governor is a Democrat and certainly wants to follow the suggestions of his party. I heard that Pelosi promises each governor who abides by her rulings to keep people in, that all considerations will be given to their party aspirations for funding for the state. Come on, Governor Wolf. You are certainly no young person, so your political aspirations are few or should be. But let people make up their own minds. My heart goes out to people with mouths to feed and bills to pay. The gracious boxes of food offered here and there are nice, but we want to earn our own way. Good point.
All right, Eric, you get a minute. Go right ahead.
I have to rebut. My comment was that there's no standing president was ever elected during a recession. President Roosevelt, as my history book tells me, was elected during a depression and reelected during a depression. Not a recession. However, if the economy goes into an actual depression, which it might, perhaps Governor or President Trump will have a chance of being reelected.
All right, we got you. Thank you so
but
much.
I don't think you can blame this on the president. I mean, everybody's saying he should shut everything down. Then he shuts it down, and the economy goes to hockey sticks in a handbasket.
What did the president shut down?
He originally issued the orders banning the travel same people had to stop and do things differently.
But that hardly shuts down things in Union or Snyder County.
No, but his original decrees did stop a lot of things in their tracks. So
my point, gentlemen, is that I think he's being, what he's trying to do is jumpstart the economy and bring that back at any risk to anything. As long as he gets the economy back going, he wants to be reelected, and I'm afraid his bid for reelection puts himself above the thoughts of how this could affect, and kill more people.
Okay, let's be fair about this. Then you could also turn that around and say, well, the Democrats want to keep it closed down as long as possible so the president won't have a chance to turn the economy around and he'll lose. Isn't that just as fair as what you said?
Well, then we'll have the same outcome in the election we had the last time, with more Republicans voting for President Trump than Democrats voted for.
But I mean, it's the same thing.
Clinton.
If you're going to say he's playing
politics, you can't
ignore the fact that the Democrats might be doing it too, right?
Do you think that's true, that Democratic governors want to make the economy as bad as humanly possible?
No, I don't. I'm not that cynical yet. I may get there, but I'm not that cynical yet.
Yeah, we're early. We're only 2 months into the pandemic.
Right.
One of our fine local business people emailed this 1 week ago. Now, we didn't read it, but it rose back to the top. So go ahead, Joe.
Okay. It says, why do my employees and laid off staff have to call 1-888-313-7284 for assistance? And it's busy from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. 100% of the time. They have called about 300 times on redial, and there's nobody to help them. Also, if you try their chat line, it allows you to register to chat and then immediately cuts you off and tells you they are overwhelmed and cannot handle the chat at this time. This has happened at least 100 times with the same excuse. If the governor would have laid off some of his staff and they had this much trouble, he would have interceded on their behalf. This is how I am now approaching the best way to intercede on their behalf. Well, there's no question the state's been overwhelmed with this, and they really have an obligation to pick up their game here.
Yeah, at this point, what are we, 4 weeks in? Let's see. And this arose on May 7th, so it's a week old, but it's still germane because today's Thursday.
Right. And all day.
Right. Yesterday, I went to the Lewisburg Farmers Market. I saw several people wearing a mask or wearing one proper, or several people not wearing a mask or wearing one properly. Even a bread vendor had no mask. Needless to say, she lost a sale. Too many me people rather than we people. That's our biggest issue, combating this virus.
And then our friend Mike, who made the earlier comment, said it was a recession when Roosevelt was elected. He made it a depression.
Brother. All right, Cindy, last caller before a quickie break. You're on the mark. Go right ahead.
I'm probably dating myself, but I'm sure Joe remembers a controversy where a reporter manufactured a document to discredit President Bush. I think it might have been when he was running in his first election, that he had been a draft dodger or something like that. Do you remember that, Joe?
Yep. Not Senior Bush, Junior Bush.
Right, Junior Bush, mm-hmm. Right. And what happened to that reporter, Mr. Rather? What happened to him?
Well, he went on to disgrace himself even further.
Well, and he lost his job, as I recall,
right,
over that whole thing.
But he's
right?
Back. He's back on another channel.
Well, so I'm wondering why this reporter who manufactured a digital document isn't being terminated for his behavior. It seems to me like that's a double standard. If Mr. Rather clearly did that in order to bias an election, the same thing is true about the behavior of this reporter that did this digital document just the other day, and yet he's got, my bad. I mean,
you're talking about Chuck Todd and editing that story, right?
Yes, and he should be held accountable in a similar fashion. He's responsible for what he puts on the air. You know, you can't be... I think about this in terms of people who live in glass houses ought not to be throwing stones. And here they are, in specific, here he is, using this to damn this man, and it turns out it's a fraud. You know, I'm just stunned that he's not being shown the door for his behavior. He aired it. He should be responsible for it. Now he's blaming other people,
No, somebody
gave
me it.
The very kind of thing that he would chastise the president for doing.
Yeah, well, as Harry Truman used to say, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen.
Well, and it's his job.
And here's this guy deserves a lot of heat. I'm sorry. He does. I agree with you completely. He deserves a lot of heat.
And he's not getting it. Oh, hey, his bad. Not a problem. Let's let it go.
Well, I think it's being widely talked about, you know, by people who follow this sort of thing.
Actually, CBS did blow the whistle on him. I mean, the reporter who did
NBC.
The interview. Right. No, blew
CBS
it on him. CBS blew the whistle on him.
Okay.
Right. And the reporter was a woman, so was he engaged in misogyny, I wonder, trying to damn her in the process?
Well, you know, the funny thing is Chuck Todd's not getting the right amount of coverage, but neither is anything else that deserves a lot of coverage. Joe and I were just talking off mic about AP did this fabulous series about the literally millions and millions of dollars that our lawmakers in Harrisburg literally waste.
Yes.
And it gets absolutely nothing. There was a big article in the Daily Item, which
Mark,
is fabulous.
Let
me finish it.
Okay.
There was a big article in the Daily Item this week, so please read that. We don't have that on our broadcast wire, so I can't put it on our website, but read it. You will be shocked and
well, I have
appalled.
I have the AP story here, and when I sent it to Mark, I said with a notation, Cindy will love this one.
Well, thank you. I've called for them to be, you know, they're sitting on, what is it, $170 million, our state legislatures. $170 million in slush fund money, they're sitting on it, just in case they need it for themselves.
Oh, but
you know, we were very close to reducing this legislature, and I argue vehemently we can reduce their costs. And they killed it. They spiked that ball on us, remember?
Yep.
So that we could have been reducing their numbers with this census, but now we can't.
Well, I'm going to be gone tomorrow, but I got to just read you a couple of these things for you just to watch your blood boil figuratively. Lawmakers spent money to flavor their office water, buy fancy furniture, have locks changed, and reserve choice parking spots. They purchased a Teach Yourself Spanish program, rented a zoo for a community event, bought Foss knots to hand out, ordered a personalized tablecloth, that was $260, and picked up some individually wrapped muffins to pass out to commuters at a train station. One state representative dinged taxpayers $1.08 for a container of hairspray so she could kill flies.
Well, did you see the one lawmaker who ordered flavored water,
yeah,
all these
I said
different
that.
Bottles? Oh, did you read that?
I read that, yeah.
He said
flavor their office water.
Well, right. But then they asked him about the cost of it, and he said, oh, it's just a couple dollars a bottle. It's $9 per bottle.
But then the best one is a Philadelphia Democrat, a guy named Keller, went on a framing.
Not Fred Keller.
Right. I said Philadelphia. Bill Keller is the guy's name. He went on a framing spree, including five photos of himself on the House floor, and two of himself holding what were described as the invoice as Pennsylvania trophies. And he wound up being questioned about it and had to write a check for $2,200 to reimburse the state.
Well, thank goodness. I mean, and then they have the audacity to stand on the floor of the House or out there in the rotunda of the building to carry on about the poor and the beleaguered and, you know, and yet behind closed doors, you know, this is the classic fat cat with the fat stogie in his mouth. I know you're not allowed to smoke in the house anymore. But you know what I'm saying?
You can in your office,
though.
Classic
abuse of tax dollars. And to that end, let me just say, because I'm so critical, one positive thing. Hats off, kudos to every school district who is not raising taxes this year. And I see locally that many of them are not. You know, the school districts in Pennsylvania, by raising taxes every year, accumulated as a whole, all 500 as a whole, $4 billion in reserves. $4 billion in their kitties, just in case, the just in case funds. Well, now, finally, recognizing that it's raining cats and dogs, they're using that money, which they should have never been allowed to accumulate in the first place. And in fact, many did it against the state law, but nobody held them accountable. Anyway, hats off to them. Use that money. Don't raise local property taxes this year.
Gotcha. Okay.
Thank you
so much. Take care.
Yep. Thanks for checking in. Quickie break. Stop talking, Joe. We'll be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC Way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Chris, thank you for waiting. You're on the mark.
Yeah, Finley doesn't seem to understand that neither Dan Rather nor the Meet the Press guy there manufactured anything.
Oh, yeah?
They didn't manufacture documents. They didn't manufacture the digital documents. They did neither one.
So, they just lied, that's all.
No, they didn't lie either.
Oh, okay, they're just pillars of virtue. I'm sorry, I forgot.
No, do you know what they did?
I know what Dan Rather did, and I know what Chuck Todd did. They distorted
the truth. What did Dan Rather do?
They distorted the truth.
No, they were victims of a... Rather was victim of a scam.
Oh, come on. You're talking about an entirely different thing. That was his... what's the frequency, Kenneth?
Mm-hmm. No, that's why he was assaulted. I don't think that had anything to do with
what's
anything.
What's the frequency? What?
Yeah, that was why he was assaulted.
Don't you remember somebody beat him up and they said the person came up to him and said, what's the frequency, Kenneth?
Yeah, but that's not a scam. That was just an incidental roughhousing mistake.
Are you talking about Rather?
Yes.
What he got fired for, which is what she said, was the thing on Bush.
Right.
Right, which was a letter that he was fed that looked correct.
But he didn't check it out. That's the same thing Chuck Todd did.
He did check it out. It was a fairly decent scam.
Oh, I see. In other words,
but he didn't check it out well enough.
He got scammed.
That's true. I think the Meet the Press was probably talking pretty accurately too, because he certainly wouldn't want to cause the scam. He wouldn't want. It was easily found out, and he should have found it out, but he didn't. And he certainly wouldn't have done it on purpose when it was so easily found out and makes him look bad. Really?
So
you
what
really
is
he? Is he
intellectually lazy?
That's just nonsense, Joe.
Well, then what is he? Is he intellectually lazy? Is he stupid? And shouldn't the person who has a high position in journalism be held to a higher
stupid?
Standard? Shouldn't a person
you
in journalism
ever do a stupid thing?
Shouldn't a person in journalism be held to a
do
higher
you ever
standard?
Do a stupid thing?
You answer my question first. Shouldn't he be held
what?
To a higher standard? Because he's informing
he should be
the
held
public.
To a high standard, yes.
Okay.
And so should the president, for that matter. And he manufactures phony documents, and he lies constantly.
Well, and you want him fired, but you don't seem to feel the same way about Chuck Todd.
I don't want him fired. I want him voted out. I want him impeached because of the things he did, which he had a first bipartisan impeach and bipartisan vote in favor of impeachment.
Ever.
Ever, yes.
Well,
since
come on.
The Depression.
Yeah, right. There was actually bipartisan voting the last time we actually did try to impeach a president seriously, which was in 1868.
Nixon. Oh, that's true. Well, so, Nixon, though, Democrat?
No. Never got that far with Nixon.
Okay. It never got that far, Joe. You're wrong again.
No, I'm not wrong.
Not in the 1800s.
In the 1865.
In the Senate. It didn't get to the Senate.
Yes, it did. In 1865, there was a trial.
Yes.
Anyway, back
trial,
to the virus.
What was the vote?
Huh? There was a vote. He was exonerated by one vote. You should read your history, Chris.
Yes, and and were there any votes by people of his party against him? No.
He was a Democrat. They were paying Republican. There were only about six or eight Democrats in there at the time. There weren't very many of them, and they were raising money. The Democrats raised money to buy Republican votes.
Well, I'll check that out. I think you're wrong.
No, I'm not wrong. You check it out, and you'll find I'm right.
I will.
both of you guys. Check it out. Both of you guys are fired for the day. No, don't say anything.
Okay, goodbye.
Just for that, I'm going to suspend you for the weekend.
Oh, good. Thank you.
For being argumentative. We'll see you Monday. Tomorrow, Ben Reichle's in. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. Dan Patrick's show is next, followed by the Dave Ramsey Show and Steve Jones on WKOK. Okay.